All right, so I'm Connor Graham, and I'm interviewing
Robin Howerton.
And you are a flight attendant for
American Airlines. I've been flying for 32 years, mm-hmm. And I'm currently flying out of Los Angeles.
Okay. And do you fly normally? Like, is that your full-time job?
Yeah, I do that normally. I've been doing it full-time. I fly like 14 days a month. I usually do the coast to coast. I do the LA New York or I do LA Hawaii, but I just do usually the coast to coast flights.
Okay, and how many flights do you normally do in a month?
In a month, the average schedule is about 12 days. So you can work either 12, or if you want to pick up more time and make more money, you can do 18. But yeah. I normally work like 4 days a week, so mm-hmm. I work like 12 days a month.
Yeah. And how many flights do you think you've ever run on in total?
Oh, in 32 years, I can't even, I wouldn't even know how to answer that, because some weeks you'll do like just one flight and then mm-hmm. back, or sometimes you'll do like four flights, you know, in a day. So the beauty of our job is you can, you know, it's so complex, you can do a nonstop, or you can do like three flights in a day. So there's yeah. so much flexibility. So it would mm-hmm. be hard for me to answer that.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot.
All right. So tell me about the time that you were in the air and there was a sickness or...
Yeah, so I'm a flight attendant with American Airlines, and we were going LA to JFK, which is about a 5.5 hour flight. And we happened to have the LA Galaxy soccer team on that day with their trainers. And also in business class, we happened to have Dr. Ashton, who's the doctor on Good Morning America. Not that I needed to know that information right now, but like 2 hours into the flight, we get in coach, someone ringing their call light, and a pregnant lady all of a sudden passes out. So we immediately page for a doctor, and the doctor from Good Morning America comes back from business class, and then the trainers from LA Galaxy come, and they decided that she's very pregnant.
Yeah. And so on a flight, when someone gets sick, what's the normal procedure for that?
Well, if they're just sick, then we try to treat them. You know, we ask them what their symptoms are, like if they just have a headache or their stomach ache, you know, then we can, mm-hmm. we have a medical kit that we could treat them for like minor stuff. But
is there normally doctors on a flight?
No, not really. We wish. Most of the time there's either a doctor or what they call a resident assistant, which is like a doctor's assistant.
Yeah.
There's usually somebody like that on a flight, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's not. And then we are trained, you know, kind of most of it, but we can't do like major stuff, but yeah. we are trained to like do like, decompressions and heart attacks and stuff, but we really like it when a doctor's on board, because then they can take over.
So on this specific flight, someone had gotten sick. You said a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
And she had gone unconscious.
Yeah. The lady beside her noticed that she had leaned over on her, and mm-hmm. she looked over and she was like unconscious. So she rang her flight attendant yeah. call light, and we went there and we realized that she had lost consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we go over the intercom and we asked if there's any doctors on board. And that's when the doctor from Good Morning America and the LA Galaxy doctor, they responded. And so they took over. We love it when doctors are on board so they can take over. And then we just leave and let them do what they need to do.
And LA Galaxy, is that a...
That's a soccer team in LA.
Soccer team, okay.
But their trainers are on board, so obviously they are trained, they're professional, mm-hmm. you know.
Doctors.
Yeah, but luckily Dr. Ashton, who's mm-hmm. a full-on doctor, kind of took over and told us what to do.
And she's on...
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
Yeah, she's the blonde doctor. Her name is... she's the really pretty doctor somebody, but she's all over Instagram, and she's on Good Morning America, Dr. something Ashton. She's the famous doctor.
Yeah.
So when we landed, all the news crew was there, and mm-hmm. because...
So the pregnant lady goes unconscious. You paid for a doctor.
They come. They realize that she's not doing well and that she's taking some medication. and she's very, very pregnant, like maybe 8 months. Like, mm-hmm. she should not have taken whatever she's taken, but she's unconscious.
Did you know if it was prescribed, or was it just something
she... We still don't know. We don't find out what happened, mm-hmm. But the paramedics met the flight and took her off. We as flight attendants don't get that information, yeah. but... they say that she did it intentionally because she didn't have any bags on board.
So, like, she didn't bring anything with her on the flight?
No, and she was going coast to coast. And all she brought was her purse. Mm-hmm. So that's a little weird. And to be taking any kind of medication when you're 8 months pregnant is not a good idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure. We never found out what happened to her. But the paramedics met the flight and they took her off.
Okay, so once the doctor came, what happened exactly?
When the doctor came, they did her vitals and everything, and they said she's not doing well. Yeah. But fortunately, we were only about 30 minutes from landing. Otherwise, we probably would have had to land somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Ashton monitored her, and they were doing, like, compressions. We have all that stuff on board.
Yeah.
And they stayed with her through landing. So I don't know what they did in the back, but they were, like, doing... blood pressure and her pulse, mm-hmm. and making sure that she was still breathing until we landed, and then the paramedics came on and took her off.
They took her to the back of the plane?
I know, always in the front, because, yeah, it's just easier, and that's where the jet bridge comes in, so you're always going to deplane from the front.
Yeah.
And so.
Okay, and so you're in flight. You were 30 minutes away from the next airport. So you didn't stop at a different airport. You just went to the one that you were already going to?
Yeah. It was a little concerning because she was pregnant. So we're not only just dealing with one life, we're dealing with two lives. Mm-hmm. And so I was in business class, so I'm just getting... But it was way more serious because when, you know, a pregnant lady... It's way more serious than just if you're not pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so she had a lot more severe complications, but we were so lucky that to have a professional doctor on board that knew exactly what to do, but we still had to land. So, they took over, and then the LA Galaxy trainer guys came and helped Dr. Ashton. And then we fortunately were just almost about to land. So they took her off, and she wasn't actually... coherent when she got off, so she was still kind of unconscious. So,
and the paramedics had to come to the plane and take her off.
Yeah, they actually walked on board the plane. All the passengers stayed seated, and then they actually went with the stretcher and took her off.
Do you know if she was okay afterwards?
No, we don't get that information because, you know, it's just, I guess it's patient privacy. Yeah. So as a flight attendant, we never know what happened. So I don't know. But when she got off, she was not.
Yeah.
She wasn't really, her eyes weren't open. So.
And you said the news was there when you got off?
Well, when we got off the plane after we were walking through the airport, because it's Dr. Ashton and she's on Good Morning America. I think her publicist, she must have called her publicist. So when we got off, the news cameras and her publicist were there, and they were like asking us questions, and then they took a picture of all of us.
Yeah.
Because she's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. And then they did talk about it on Instagram the next day and on her news show about that she had helped out on a airplane medical emergency, you know.
Okay, so on that particular flight, you met the doctor from Good Morning America. Is it often that you'll have flights with people who are, like, famous or well-known?
Yeah, so that's one of the beauties of living in Los Angeles, and I usually do the LA-New York route, which just happened to be where this incident took place, but...
Yeah.
Well, we are one of the premier airlines that do coast to coast. So you're going from LA to New York. So you're going from Celebrityville to Celebrityville. So every flight for the past 10 years that I've been doing that flight, we have major celebrities on board. Mm-hmm. And they're always in first class. And a lot of times the special services walks them on last because they don't want people gawking at them. And we're not really supposed to ask them for a photo, you know, which I would never do anyway. You're not supposed to disturb them. They don't really want to be treated any differently. But I've had a lot of major celebrities on that you're like, sometimes you're like, oh my God, that's, you know, you know. So it's pretty surreal to... have this job and you see someone that you saw on television last night and they're right beside you and you're serving them. but they're just like real people, just like me and you. Like, they don't, you know, you realize they eat the same, they go to the restroom, they, you know, they just want to be treated normal. But it is, it's pretty surreal to be like, last week we had the chick from Game of Thrones, the Mother Dragons, what's her name? Khaleesi, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't.
So she's like the biggest character. She has dragons. And all of a sudden she just rolls on her flight. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. You know, and everybody's like stopping to, you know, watch her and stuff, you know. So it's pretty cool that you just seeing these major celebrities. But when you see them face to face, they're just like us. Yeah. They're just, you know, they just happen to have a talent, you know. So that's been really cool for me to see when I moved to L.A., is how many celebrities that you see on your flights, but they don't.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, they don't act like celebrities. They're just, there's just a passenger, you know, on board. So, and you have to treat them like that because, you know, you can't like be all crazy and ask for their autograph and stuff because then they won't fly American. You know, you really cannot ask for pictures or ask for autographs. That's a big no-no. You know, you can't do that.
What are some of the most notable people that you've had on your flight?
I've had, I guess Halle Berry, I think was a really big one. The Game of Thrones, lady recently, I've had, Pierce Brosnan, you know, 007. We just had a couple of days ago, Goldie Hawn, I had Britney Spears once, you know, it's not just the, actors, you know, you get a lot of the rock, musicians and stuff, you know, cause you know, LA to New York is a big, we had, Errol Smith on once back in the day. So, Chris Rock, you know, I love, it's kind of, we always know ahead of time, because we have this thing called a passenger list. So we are notified when major celebrities are coming on board just so that we know.
And whenever you have some of these celebrities on board, do people try and like get near them, like go up to first class and try and meet them?
Yeah, sometimes they do. That's why they board last. So a lot of times the general public won't know they're on board because coach is already boarded. And so special services will walk them on at the last minute. But yeah, sometimes if they board, if they choose to board first, then people will stop and ask them for an autograph and stuff. And we just tell them to please keep going because, you know, and then they'll sometimes during the flight ask if they can come up and we don't let them because, you know, they just don't want to be disturbed. Sometimes they'll be okay with it, but the policy is not to disturb them. And then we have athletes on too, you know, all the time. We have the football players and, so yeah, but normally, if you're really big, you come on last, and very few people like know you're on board, except we had Dolly Parton on once, and she actually wanted to stand and greet the passengers. So that was pretty cute. You know, she actually stood there, and as passengers boarded, she greeted people, and that and people got a kick out of that. So some celebrities don't mind, but 90% of them want to be left alone. They don't want a photo. Most of them don't come on with makeup. They would just want to sleep, you know. So we are told, you know, for us to never ask for an autograph or take pictures and not to let passengers come up. So most of the, I'd say 80% of the time, normal, regular passengers don't know that they're on board.
Because they board last.
Separate.
And do they have, like, separate baggage areas and stuff like that?
Well, there's two things. One, they can they usually have a limo service. And they a guy comes in and meets their plane and takes their luggage and takes them straight to a limo outside. Or there's something that you can pay for. It's like five-star service, and they're taken down instead of going through the airport. They're taken down the steps right at the jet bridge and taken into a car and taken to baggage claim. They have like special security, and but that's a lot of money. But if you don't want to walk through the airport, you know, then that's, if you're really high end, like we had, my friend had Kim Kardashian on and Kanye, and you know, obviously they don't want to, you know, walking through the airport would cause total chaos.
And they were on a normal flight, not a private.
They usually fly private, but I guess for some reason, sometimes, you know, you can't get a private, or, you know, we have a, our first class is pretty nice. So they were on my girlfriend's flight, LA, the same LA JFK. because it's only 10 seats and they boarded last and no one even knew they were on board. Mm-hmm. And then they got off and went down the steps. So, yeah. And it's probably half the price. But most major celebrities like Oprah and, you know, they fly private. So you don't see, you know, but sometimes, you know, if it's only like a short flight, you know, they'll fly a commercial. But a commercial. The major celebrities are flying private, I would think.
So have you had... besides the earlier case where you had the doctor on board and the unconscious, have you had any other medical emergencies in 32 years?
We had one to Mexico City like about 6 months ago where the guy just became unconscious. And that was pretty tricky because he only spoke Spanish because we're going to Mexico City. And I was in first class. I try to always work first class because it's a little... calmer up there, but so we had to page for a Spanish speaker because not only was he having a medical emergency, but we didn't know what he was saying because he was Spanish only. So they did come and we got a Spanish speaker and he was having like a panic attack. And so they calmed him down. The Spanish speaker came, but it wasn't like a crazy medical emergency, but thankfully he was like just like sweating, and so we gave him oxygen.
So it's not very often that you have like a major emergency on a flight or anything like that.
Thankfully, no. Probably in 32 years had maybe five medical emergencies. Yeah. So, and knock on wood, I've never had an evacuation like an airplane emergency. You know, like a serious aircraft emergency. So I've consider myself pretty lucky. I've never had to have an emergency landing. I've never had to evacuate an airplane, you know, because of like a, you know, emergency like the emergency like landing. You
are
know,
there, I just had... are there a lot of people who get like really, really nervous or like...
Yes. I find more and more lately there are a lot of nervous flyers. Yeah. They are taking, they come on and they want to meet the pilots. They want to talk to the pilots just to make sure, you know, and then they tell us that they're nervous, and if we have turbulence, you know, they ring their call light and want to just be reassured that everything's okay. Yeah. You know, if you don't fly a lot and turbulence can freak you out. So, yeah, and normally if you're that nervous, you'll let us know when you're boarding so we know to come and check on you and stuff, or a lot of them want to meet the pilots and stuff. But, yeah, it's not often, but and then the big thing is a lot of them you see now with – service animals, emotional support animals, which has gotten a little out of control.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of people coming on with emotional support animals.
Yeah. What's the policy with that? What can they bring on board?
Well, that's kind of changed a lot because it was getting, it's gotten a little out of hand. Yeah. You know, now we're getting pit bulls on flights and stuff. They've changed it recently where you had to have a lot more documentation because you used to just be able to download something off the internet and forge a doctor's signature, and then you could bring Fido or whoever you wanted on board. But then we get to the point where we had like five dogs on board and they were starting to fight with each other, and then one dog like pooped. You know, I mean, dogs aren't, I personally don't think dogs are meant to be on a flight. I think dogs want to stay home in their comfort zone, especially on a 5-hour flight, you know. But they're getting a lot stricter about that because they have had so many incidents of dogs fighting with each other or dogs biting a flight attendant, you know, you know.
Are they kept in like carriers or are they just allowed to be?
Well, if you're an emotional support animal, no, you don't have to be in a carrier. If you're just someone transporting your cat or your dog, you pay a fee and you put it in a carrier and it has to stay underneath your seat like a piece of luggage. But if you're an emotional support animal, they can sit in your lap, you know, and so and it's free. Well, I think you still have to pay a fee, but it can sit in your lap.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be in a carrier. But that's the problem, because then if I walk by and I happen to be handing a drink to the owner and she doesn't like it, you know, there's just been incidents where flight attendants have been bitten and stuff. So it's kind of out of control right now. But some people actually really need it. I was on a flight once where the lady was so nervous and she was petting her dog, like, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you really do need, like, I can see. Yeah. But I think a lot of people abuse the policy and they just want their dog in their lap.
Yeah.
You know, but then that's fine for you, but the person beside you might be allergic or may not want to sit with a dog for 5 hours right beside them. You know, maybe I don't like dogs and I don't want to sit beside a dog. So it's a really major issue right now with the airlines.
Do they have to get, they don't have to get special tickets or anything if they're going to bring a service?
Yeah. You have to get a special ticket, and we have to be notified that you're bringing them on, and they have to have a special documentation from the doctor, and the agent looks at and everything. But yeah, we know when they're on board, because there's a limit to how many dogs you can have on board.
Yeah.
Because we can't have, like, you know, 100, you know, dogs yeah, running around. So yeah, so I think the limit's like six animals per flight. And then on international, it's even stricter, because, I mean, those are 12-hour flights. Yeah. You know, an animal should not be on a 12-hour flight, you know, because there's no way it's going to be able to hold its, you know, pee.
Do they have to get special seats, or is it just anywhere?
Well, we have celebrity dogs. Like, I had Lassie on once, you know, the dog that plays Lassie. So there are what they call celebrity animals, and they can actually buy their own seat. And so, but that's totally separate. If you're an emotional support animal, you don't get your own seat. You just sit in your owner's lap. If you're a regular animal, you don't get your own seat. You're just underneath the seat in front of you. So, yeah, no dog or animal gets their own seat unless it's, quote, a celebrity animal.
And there's no, like, for the seat. There's no special seating for someone who brings on a dog. They can just sit wherever they bought the tickets.
And that's a problem, because if some people are allergic to cats. And if I get on and I have my cat, you happen to be allergic to the cat, then that creates a problem for the flight attendant, because now I have to find another seat for you. And if there are no other seats, she doesn't want to move. Yeah. You don't want to move. So then what am I supposed to do? So it's a big deal sometimes. It doesn't happen that often. And usually there's always one extra seat. But yeah, it's the whole animal issue has definitely become a problem in the last, I'd say, 7 years. Yeah. Animals are out of control on the airplane now. They're, it's an issue.
And so you said there's a lot of nervous people. And how would you deal with that, like, normally? Like, how do you deal with the nervous person?
I just go up to them and just assure them that it's normal, that turbulence is normal, you know. And, you know, I think they respond to how you respond. And I'm a pretty calm person. So if they see me being calm and that I'm not afraid, then they're usually not afraid. Yeah. You know, I'll tell them to maybe read a book or read a magazine. Or a lot of our planes, our airplanes have movies. So I suggest they watch a movie and just try not to focus on it. But, you know, we're not allowed to give medication or anything for that type of stuff. So, you know, if they want a cocktail, I'll offer them a cocktail. Sometimes that calms their nerves. But I think mostly they just want someone to talk to them. They just want someone to say it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, trust me, this is normal. It's not. And then the captain, and I'll let the captain know, and he'll come over the intercom and say, hey, guys, sorry, we're going through some turbulence. It's totally normal. Everything's fine. If I know that, you know, a nervous flyer is on board. But you don't really get that too often. And usually they just want to be, like, eye contact, knowing that you're okay. Now, if I'm, like, freaked out looking and I'm like, oh, my God, that's going to be a problem. Yeah. Because then they're going to be even more scared.
So 32 years and you haven't had any major incidents?
No, I have not. Knock on wood. No, I've never had any evacuations. I've never had fire on board. I've never, you know, had anything where, you know, something was wrong with the aircraft and we had to evacuate. So I feel pretty lucky.
So you started flying
in 1987.
Yep. And that was before 9/11 and all the... How did the airline change after that?
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, 9/11 changed everything. It was a different experience after that, because people were more... security's way more strict. Yeah. People are way on high alert.
Do you all have to go through security?
On some airports we do. If not, we do this thing called known crew member, and we have to be fingerprinted, and so we can skip security, but we have to show our ID and our fingerprints to this special place.
Yeah,
that's in just certain airports, but we have to go through some type of security. Yeah. We can't just get off get dropped off and go. We go through some type of security, but it doesn't necessarily have to be what passengers go through. But I just think everybody's, like, more on high alert. I think there's a lot more racial profiling now than there was before 9/11. I think, you know, just the attitude and...
Does it make boarding slower?
not necessarily boarding. I think the check-in process is a lot worse now, and I think they're just, people are just a lot more on edge. But that was in the beginning. Now this has been like, what are we now, you know,
18 years.
Yeah. In the beginning, the first 4 years, it was, now I think unfortunately people have gone back to the old ways and compliant, and so it, but in the, I'd say the first 5 years after 9/11, it was really tense and really strict. And now I think people have gone back to just the old way, and now it's just a free for all. Like, tickets are so cheap.
Were you flying on 9/11?
I was not flying. Fortunately, I was off, and I woke up to a phone call from three of my friends asking if I was flying because they saw it on television. I was in Miami, and it was New York time. So there was a, and I didn't know anything about it. And then they said, turn on the news. So I didn't know anything about it until I started getting phone calls, but I wasn't flying. But I do know a couple of my friends got stuck. If you were flying, unfortunately, you were probably stuck wherever you were for like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, wow.
Because the flights, all the airports totally shut down. So you couldn't get back unless you drove. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of my friends were stuck in like, you know, South America and all these countries because, you know, they totally shut down airline travel for a while. But no, I was lucky I was not flying.
All right, so, and everything is kind of, you said everything is kind of normalizing now. Like, you know, the events of 9/11 have passed. People are kind of getting back into their usual routines and stuff. And you haven't had any medical emergencies. Have you had any since that one occurrence with the,
No, I haven't. We have a couple of like things on board, but we can handle those. Like, you know, if they just are feeling faint, you know, we have oxygen, I'll give them oxygen, or, you know, like simple things like that. But I haven't had anything where the paramedics had to be called. I think, you know, things, I just think, the worst part now about air travel is the planes are very full. Tickets are super cheap. People are on top of each other. The seats are narrower. The flights are, so, you know, it's just, they're packed in there and people are just uncomfortable in general. It's kind of like,
do you have more work when it's more packed? Like, do you get more people on the plane as flight attendants?
Well, yeah, I mean, the planes are always full, but you get people. So I usually try to work first class because people are happier up there. They don't have to pay for food. They get a pillow. They get a blanket. They get free drinks. In coach, it's a whole different ball game. You know, they're not happy. They don't get a pillow. They don't get a blanket. They have to pay for food. They have to pay for everything. So it's just a different way of traveling now. Like, it's just, it's uncomfortable and it's not as glamorous as it used to be.
Did you, start out, do you have to work your way up to first class?
Is it like a no, because a lot of people don't want to work first class because it's a lot more work because you're actually serving food and stuff. When coach, you're just passing out pretzels and drinks and selling food, you know. And
so it's not like a,
it's not a seniority thing. Some flights I like first, but I'm pretty senior, so I can hold it. But a lot of people don't want to deal with the attitude because at first you get a little bit of arrogancy sometimes because they are very high profile passengers, especially on the JFK flights. You know, we get the CEOs and the producers and stuff, and most people just want to be in coach where, you know, you don't have to, you know, present yourself as well. But I actually like first class because it's happier people, you know, it's businessmen. You know, they have bigger seats. They have more leg room. They're usually pretty happy, you know, versus coach is just, you know, like a greyhound in the air. They just throw them on board.
And do you enjoy flying? Is that like...
I do. I do. I mean, I'll start 33 years in June, and I still love it because I get to see a different place. Every day is a different experience. I go to a different place. I'm flying with different people. I'm getting paid to go to Hawaii. I'm getting paid to go to Paris. I'm getting paid to go to New York. I'm getting, you know, paid to go places that some people only dream about, you know. And I still actually enjoy passengers. You know, I always try to put myself, like, what if I was that passenger? How would I want to be treated? And that's how I try to live my life, and that's how I try to do my job. So, I still enjoy it, and because I'm probably realistically going to do it for another at least 15 years. So, I still do enjoy it.
Okay. And Have you been with American Airlines that whole time?
Yes. I started when I was 22 and I'm 54. So I've been with American for 32 years. Yeah. Wow. So the whole time. Yeah. So it's basically been my whole life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know a lot of those people that you've been flying with?
Yeah, I've switched bases a couple of times, but I do have 3 lifelong friends that were in training with me. Yeah. So I have known them for 32 years. And then you do fly with the same girl as your seniority, you know, mm-hmm. So I do have a lot of, you know, friends, but there are 3 girls that were in training with me and we've been through life together.
Yeah.
So lifelong. And the thing about being a flight attendant and having flight attendant friends is they get your job. They understand mm-hmm. it. Most people don't understand my job because unless you do it and you understand what it's like, it's hard to vision like, oh, you just went to Paris. Oh, how bad can your job be? Well, it's still, that day sucked because, you know, you had a shitty passenger mm-hmm. that went off on you about something that you couldn't control, you know? Yeah. So, but only if you're a flight attendant do you understand what another flight attendant's going through sometimes. So it's nice to have flight attendant friends, you know, that understand your job because they do the same job you do.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with me.
You're welcome.
It was definitely an interesting story. I've never heard of celebrities helping out other people on flights. I didn't realize that y'all paged people when there's incidents like that. I guess it would make sense.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we do yearly training. Every flight attendant has to go through training for 2 days every year. Mm-hmm. And part of our training is medical, but we're not doctors. We're not nurses. We know how to do heart and chest compressions and stuff. But my God, if there's a full on doctor on board, we'd much rather have him mm-hmm. take over than us, you know? Yeah. So we're lucky most of the time with, you know, 170 people on a flight, the chances of having a doctor or a registered assistant mm-hmm. or RN registered nurse on board is pretty good. But we'd much rather them take over than us. Yeah. But we are trained once a year to do medical situations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I personally would rather a doctor do it than me, you know?
Well, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.